Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up, Doug Gottlieb Show? Fox Sports Radio. Get ready for the fight of a lifetime with Triller Fight Club. Ben Askren and former Bellator and One Champ. Fights the Triller Fight Club. Tomorrow, tune in to watch Ben Askren. Other great fighters, stack card, amazing fights. Plus, Bieber, Diplo, Doja Cat, Snoop and more. Tune in on pay-per-view or stream with Tyson on Triller.com. So Justin Fields is now the betting favorite to go third overall, right? This was John Middlecoff on the show last hour.
I do. And I think he should be the pick, unless you think Trey Lance is more talented people, which some people do. I know, like, Daniel Jeremiah has him above. I saw Riddick say the other day, and I've talked to people in the NFL that said they understand it. But to me, it has to be either Fields or Trey Lance. It cannot be the Mac Jones. Like, because you just can't trade up not taking the guy with the highest upside. I mean, that's the point of the draft. In free agency, you're plugging and playing. Like, it's a talent league at quarterback now more than ever. And to me, Mac isn't even in their stratosphere. And Mac Jones is fine. Like, I'd take him in the third round. But, I mean, I don't think he's a first-round talent, you know, 5 years ago. We're in, like, the world of quarterback inflation, where every quarterback's getting drafted high now. But over the last couple decades, guys like Justin Fields were always getting drafted high. Guys like Mac Jones used to be drafted in the third round.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, Mac Jones reminds me of Kirk Cousins, reminds me of Matt Schaub, reminds me of, and those guys have had great success under Kyle Shanahan, but they're not guys that are taken third in the draft. And I do wonder, like, if is part of how we look at Cousins because of where he was drafted. But that's not really the case, because look at Tom Brady, where he was drafted. I just, at some point where there's smoke, there does become fire. Absolutely becomes fire. And I'm fascinated by this deal, because it's super obvious what's going on to anybody who's paying attention sort of thing. Many of us took kind of some form or amount of the bait in trying to figure out exactly what was going on with this love affair with Mac Jones. And I think people assumed, you know, incorrectly, but assumed Mac Jones would be the guy because, well, I mean, that's what happens when you go and, you know, that's what happens when you go and you parade around a pro day, and the rumors are you moved up, you know, to jump ahead of the Carolina Panthers. Look, I don't know how to tell you guys this. It's pretty obvious to me. The Carolina Panthers, if you look at what they really wanted, they probably wanted Justin Fields, not Mac Jones. But can you imagine if they did, in fact, I mean, think about that for a second. If they did, in fact, want Mac Jones, and then they end up trading for what I think is a better option and a guy who has already played in the NFL in a Sam Darnold, and then Mac Jones becomes available. That would be crazy, wouldn't it? Of course it would. So I look at the whole thing, and I kind of scoff and laugh, and I don't think I know more than anybody else. And I've never also bought into the rumor idea. Well, there's a rumor of this and there's a rumor of that. And there's don't care. Honestly, don't care at all. What I do care about is, what do the Niners look like? And you not only have to take snapshots of the success that you have, you got to take snapshots of the rest of the league. The rest of the league is working towards quarterbacks like a Justin Fields. The rest of the league is working towards, I think, that if you ask Kyle Shanahan, one of the big issues they had with RG3 was they played him right away. In order to play him right away, they couldn't play him in an NFL system. You know? Here's Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports on the show.
If you've spent enough time with Kyle Shanahan, there's an arrogance there as a head coach where it's difficult to just simply look at Kyle Shanahan's past and go, oh, okay, well, you know, Kirk Cousins, Matt Ryan, got a lot out of Matt Ryan, and Mac Jones fits more in that. Good touch, not really an off-script guy, more of a pocket guy. But I would say that Kyle Shanahan kind of falls in that Sean Payton zip code where post-Drew Brees, Sean Payton starts to look at Taysom Hill, and we're all going, what? Like, that guy, like, doesn't seem to make a lot of sense. But when you talk to Sean Payton about what attracted him to Taysom Hill, it was, hey, this is what a lot of quarterbacks look like going forward. And I think that Shanahan's that way. I wouldn't rule out Mac Jones not being the pick at number three, but a lot of teams are clearly of the mind that Kyle Shanahan's going to take the guy who most resembles the players he's been able to maximize in the past. But I look, man, Kyle is he's his own cat. He has a stubbornness to him and an arrogance to him that makes him believe he can succeed and build players into anything he wants. And if he sees a tool set with, say, a Trey Lance or a Justin Fields, I can't ignore that that could be the pick at three.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, listen, he thinks he can make lemonade out of lemons, but I'm sure he probably also think, like, we're trying to get inside the mind of a guy who, it's hard to get inside somebody's mind, and you're getting different stories from different people. And again, we don't know if it's Trey Lance, like, let's just be honest, but I don't think you keep your current quarterback if you're going to play right away. And if you're going to sit a guy, you would think it's like more upside guy that you want to have learn, have be part of the system, be kind of a savant, allow Garoppolo to be a pro, to reestablish his value in the league, all of those things. Okay. No worries. No worries at all. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. So I think personally, I'm of the belief that as much as the guy thinks he knows more than anybody else, he's also able to look around the league and go, what has the most value here? What does the rest of the league look like? Right? Like, who are the guys that have signed these big contracts? Like Deshaun Watson, Dak Prescott, Pat Mahomes, right? Deshaun Watson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott. Those are three of the biggest contracts. And even Russell Wilson. Russell's different, obviously. Aaron Rodgers is different, obviously. But all of those guys have outstanding mobility. Outstanding mobility. And, you know, Russell Wilson kind of blew people away with how ready to play he was. Aaron Rodgers was a guy who slipped in the draft, but he sat. And if the two best quarterbacks in the league right now, okay, who are the two best quarterbacks? Even if you count Brady, Brady sat his first year. Rodgers sat his first year. Mahomes sat his first year. The young quarterbacks are all super mobile and able to make plays with their legs. And the best quarterbacks are the ones that have sat for a year. To me, that is why San Francisco is going to do what they're going to do. And I think, this is just me thinking out loud, personally, I think they're going to take a guy who resembles so many of those young star quarterbacks. That feels like a Trey Lance. That feels like a Justin Fields.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Discover matches all the cash back at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover's accepted 99% of the places in the U.S. to take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes, 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply. Look, Deshaun Watson went from, God, can they not trade him? He just wants out. Like, you got to get rid of him too. I don't know how you have him on a roster in the NFL. So Nick Caserio, who's the new GM, came over from New England. You know, part of the culture change there. He met with the media today. This was Caserio on the speculation over Deshaun Watson.
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals and a lot of speculation. I'm not really good at that. Maybe somebody else is better than that than me. I mean, if you want to speculate, you should probably go buy Bitcoin and focus on that. So we're just going to focus on the things that we can control, which is kind of getting ready for the draft and trying to take advantage of the opportunities, continue to add to our team and build our roster. And we'll just take it one day at a time and focus on the things that we can control.
Yeah. I mean, he went cliche. He tried to be kind of clever there at the start. I got a Bitcoin line in. Hey, fellas, did you guys hear me get the Bitcoin line in? Huh? Bitcoin up top. Bitcoin up top. Bitcoin. You got that Bitcoin line in. I've been working on that Bitcoin line. It's a good line, Yay. Bro. A good line, bro. And, you know, I mean, he's not making light of the situation. He's just trying to go like, I don't know nothing about nothing. There's nothing I can say that helps this in any way. Right? If he just said that, I think we would have been a little bit better. Listen, there's nothing I can say that in any way at all helps this thing. That's basically what he should have said and did not say. And it's okay that he didn't say it, but that's what should have been said. He didn't say anything offensive, but he tried to be clever and tried to be cute. Does that give us any sort of clarity? None. I feel like I know less now than I did before. if that's even possible. Less. A lot less now than I ever did before.
Yeah, it was...
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
It's one of those things to where, you know, so oftentimes we'll just wait on the video. The video will tell us. I saw the video as well. I didn't see anything where I could even come close to saying Aaron Donald did anything wrong. Did you?
No. And his attorney said it looked like maybe his Aaron Donald's friends were the ones beating up the guy. Maybe that was the case. But it did not seem that Aaron Donald had any part of it.
You know what Chris Carter says, right?
Got to have a fall guy.
You got to have a fall guy in your crew.
If y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy.
In your crew. That is, I mean, like, look, there's never been such good advice as that advice. That's amazing. Amazing, amazing advice. Y'all got a crew, you got to have a fall guy in the crew. That's one of those things that really happened.
Yeah.
Did he just say that? And it was, honestly, it was like a year later after he said it, before it came out that he had said it. You know?
Got to have a fall guy.
Got to have a fall guy in your crew. It's one of those deals where you're like, you know, he actually was totally right. Everybody crushed him at the time for what he's saying. What he's, you know, I mean, like, look, what you're supposed to say is you're not supposed to be doing anything wrong. Great. Okay. I got it. But there are times in which you get accused of doing things wrong that you didn't do anything wrong. And video helps, but it also helps if you have a fall guy in your crew. Eric, go ahead.
I was just going to add this, just to follow up on the Jazz Pacers. The Jazz do play the Lakers tomorrow in an afternoon game. So the information that I have read online is that's the... to fit in the back-to-back on a Saturday afternoon, which you rarely have. That's why the Jazz and Pacers are playing right now. Instead of the Jazz playing tonight against the Pacers and then have to turn around and play tomorrow at like 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific against the Lakers, they're playing early today because they're also playing tomorrow afternoon.
They're playing back-to-backs?
Yes.
Okay, and they want them to have like 24 hours in between. Correct. Or somewhere in between?
Correct.
Okay. Why are they playing early tomorrow?
National TV, I believe. ESPN game.
Okay. I mean, just imagine. I guess it's like spring break some places. Just imagine like, hey, it was a 2:30 local start, I believe.
Yeah. And it would have been, hey, this would have been the first week of the playoffs if it was a regular first weekend of the playoffs, if it was a regular NBA season. So they usually would be, you know, stocked full of NBA playoff games to air, but now just air regular season games.
When does the regular season end? I honestly don't know.
Yeah, it is mid-May, so they just, I don't know the exact day. I thought maybe May 13th. I don't know if that sounds...
Sure.
right? But
sure, we'll go with that. May 13th sounds about right.
Or that was our due date for the baby. That there could you go. Be as well.
No, it's not May 13th because they play May 16th. Let me see if they play the 17th as well. No, May 16th is the last day.
Okay.
How are you coming on names? You guys good?
Yeah, I think we're good. I think okay. We are good.
All right. Doug it is. Doug Beyer. I like that.
Doug Gavin Beyer.
Yes. It just rolls right off the tongue. Eric Anholm joins us. He covers the NFL draft for Yahoo Sports. He does a great job. He's a good follow on social media as well. At Eric _ Edholm. Eric, let me start with three, really. Justin Fields, Trey Lance, Mac Jones. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the question du jour, I guess, and or for the next 13 days anyway, because, you know, when that trade first went down, Doug, I sat there and said, let me try to figure out who the Niners like. And I sort of scrambled and went there and, you know, went through my head and tried to think about what Shanahan likes and everything. And I landed on Trey Lance. And really the what split the difference for me in one way was they traded so much to get up there. They moved up 9 spots, I thought. You know, there was a quote from Kyle back in November when Josh Allen just dissected him and, you know, made sense that he basically said, like, maybe there's a new breed of quarterback out there, essentially. So that led me to believe, like, I could see him falling for Trey Lance, playing Jimmy until the wheels come off, and then handing off to Trey whenever he's ready. So that's what I wrote at the time. Had some feedback from NFL people who sort of, you know, reinforce what everyone heard about Mac Jones being the guy there at 3, and that's what the league thinks or thought anyway as of a week ago. But then you see these betting odds coming out, and Vegas always knows, right, that Justin Fields is the odds-on favorite. And I don't know if that's just an overcorrection to, you know, or overreaction to Kyle going to his pro day, but you got me. I really don't know at this point. Everything's sort of been thrown into the blender a little bit.
I know. It doesn't stand to reason that you would take Mac Jones at 3, does it?
I mean, if you were sitting at 3 initially and you had this roster like the Niners do, which, you know, they're a year removed from a Super Bowl, they had a ton of injuries last year, you would think the roster is in a win-now mode, in great shape. And if that was the pick at 3, if you decided that he was the guy that could just make it all work, like he did it at Alabama, right, with all that talent around him, then I could get behind it. But moving up and giving up what they did to do so, you know, I've sort of likened it to selling your condo to buy a new Prius. I mean, it's a good, reliable car. It'll get you from point A to point B. It's not going to be the flashiest thing in the world, and, you know, you got nowhere to live. But I guess the price that it cost to move up was what held me back initially on Mac, and it's still something that's, you know, bouncing around in my head a little.
It's Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. That's the voice of Eric Edholm. So if I put a gun to your head and said, what happens at 3, what would your answer be?
Yeah, I would probably give you about the same rambling answer and hope I landed on the right name. I mean, I still think it's going to be Mac based on the league sources. Team, you know, people from other teams not named the 49ers kind of indicating that they were operating under the belief that Jones was going to be the third pick. But again, you know, I never, anytime Vegas is hot on something, and if those odds stay that way with Fields the presumptive favorite, you know, I'll be making a lot of calls over the next 10 days to try to figure out what's real and what isn't. So, you know, obviously I don't know who they would have a smokescreen to try to fool up there, because it's not like anyone's getting into the 1 or 2 hole ahead of them. You know, I don't believe there's any possibility the Jets trade down, the Jaguars trade down, so unless they're just having fun kind of messing with all of our heads. It really is, you know, it is kind of funny to think about how definitive some of these reports were on Jones, but I'm starting to believe that, you know, there's at least a chance that somebody else not named Mac Jones could end up there.
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Do we see a quarterback go at 4?
We could. Atlanta, I think, has done a really good job. Terry Fontenot, new GM there, is, you know, we don't know his track record very well, just based on the fact that he came from New Orleans, who's sort of third in command there. You know, you would assume they'd want defense, and I think the way to do that is to trade down. I don't believe there's a defender worth taking in the top 5. So they're making it look like they're scouting the quarterbacks. They're making, you know, they went to all the pro days. You know, they've sort of let it be known through back channels that pick is available. But they're putting up a good front. Like, hey, we might take a quarterback. You never know. So I think ultimately that pick is going to get moved if they get the right deal. Could I see him taking, you know, Lance or Fields, the local kid? He's from Georgia. Possibly. But, you know, the belief is that maybe Arthur Smith feels like Matt Ryan has a couple years left. And his contract's, you know, you're not getting out from under that this year and maybe not even next year. There's a lot of dead money. So unless they know something about next year's cap that we don't, I would think that that's a spot that could be open for trade and that the team moving up would be taking a quarterback there.
What are the Patriots really going to do at quarterback? Because Cam Newton's not the answer.
Yeah, I mean, when they were in about day three of that free agent frenzy that they were signing everybody left and right and even above market for some of those receivers, and I just thought, wait a minute. I mean, their roster all of a sudden has like 70-plus guys on it. They're up to 79 people on their roster. You can only have 90 in the offseason. Every year they scour the undrafted free agents. They're one of the best at it. They have 10 draft picks. They should have had 11. They got one taken away for that thing happened in Cincinnati. But, I mean, they're not going to end up with 10 picks. So I keep thinking, like, at the time I was like, hey, this is the spot. If you're ever going to do it, and Bill's never done it before, Jimmy was the highest quarterback he took at number 61 overall, this would be the time. Since then, though, when I've kind of floated that theory out to people in the NFL, I've gotten some folks who don't think it's going to happen. What if the Niners take Mac or whoever at number three? I mean, you spend that much resource in a draft quarterback. Doesn't he kind of have to be the guy right away or very, very soon? I mean, that's sort of what I'm kind of thinking. And maybe overnight after the first night of the draft, the 49ers lower their price tag on Garoppolo and come back to New England and say, you want to make another quarterback trade? All right, second rounder or whatever. You know, so I suspect they have something kind of in their back pocket, whether it's, you know, Gardner Minshew or Jimmy or some veteran or possibly a day two quarterback like Davis Mills from Stanford.
Davis Mills. I can just see Davis Mills being their guy. Oh, we got it. We got it all settled. We found Tom Brady's replacement in Davis Mills. It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. Hold on quickly. I want to go to Dan Beyer real quick. We do have breaking news in the NBA. That day game that's going on that Beyer's been watching that I grilled him on because I didn't know exactly what was. I will go to him in a minute. We got some breaking news we'll get to. Eric Enholm continues to join us. Yahoo Sports NFL Draft. Who's the first non-quarterback to be taken?
Yeah, that's a great question, too. In my world, it should be Kyle Pitts. I mean, I think he's the second best player regardless of position. I've got Lawrence 1, Pitts 2. He's an animal. I mean, he's really a really fun player to watch, and I don't care about him being a tight end. I think that's, if anything, I just don't know who actually covers the guy. But, you know, let's say it goes quarterbacks 1 through 4. That means it's probably the Cincinnati Bengals at 5 making that choice. You have Pitts, who would be a great middle-of-the-field option. You have Jamar Chase, who is Burrow's boy at LSU. He could take A.J. Green's role. It wouldn't be doubling up at a position or anything like that. Or to keep Burrow, who's coming back from an ACL, upright, you take Penei Sewell from Oregon. I mean, that's a really interesting spot, too. The sense that I've gotten in the last couple weeks, and the Bengals are always very hush-hush about this. They don't trade down much. They keep a pretty tight ship. They got about 4 scouts, you know, but I don't think they're going to trade down, and I don't know that they're going to take Penei Sewell at 5. I kind of get the sense that they feel pretty good about their offseason upgrades on the line, and that if they want a tackle, they can grab one later. So I think it's between Pitts and Chase, and we'll have to see how much input Burrow has or how much they want to appease him. That'll be a really interesting decision.
It's Doug Gottlieb's show here on Fox Sports Radio. You know what's interesting is, you know, in so many years in the past, defensive players, ones that affect the quarterback position, are the guys that go kind of equally to just about anybody outside of quarterbacks and maybe even right up there with quarterbacks. And yet,
yeah.
And you look at, you know, Ohio State's got Bosa and Young over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years, last 2 years, you know, they've had absolute stars at that spot. Defensively, it's kind of a tricky draft, right? Like it's not as top heavy as possible. I mean, is Micah Parsons, is the crazy athletic linebacker from Penn State, is he the first defensive player to go?
He could. he could be. I know Detroit has done a lot of work on them. They pick at 7. You know, you listen to Dan Campbell, the new head coach. He talks about wanting to add a, you know, a presence on his defense, like a Brian Urlacher or a Lance Briggs or, the guy with the Panthers, I'm forgetting, Luke Kuechly. You know, so when you hear him say that, but you see them possibly, if things don't line up perfectly, taking Parsons at 7 or moving down and grabbing him, yes. Dallas at 10 is likely to take a corner. You know, I would think Patrick Surtain or J.C. Horn are options. So that's really kind of where it starts. I mean, Miami, I suppose at 6 could do that, but I think they're going to get a pass catcher, either Pitts or Chase, whoever isn't gone at 5. So 7 to 10 is really where I think the first defensive player goes off the board. You're right. I mean, there is no Chase Young in this class. There is no Nick Bosa. There is no, you know, even last year, Jeffrey Okuda went 3rd, although a lot of people weren't sure about that. So there just doesn't appear to be that blue chip, no doubt, unquestioned defensive talent that I would be comfortable taking in the top 5 or 6 picks.
If we would both agree that the quarterback has been overvalued, it'd be fair to say the running back is undervalued. Is Travis Etienne a good pick in the first round, like late first, like in the 20s? You know, we only had one running back and obviously went to the Chiefs. Is there value there in the first round, or do you wait and you wait to 3rd or 4th round and try and get value that way?
Yeah, it's a good one to consider. I mean, the thing with Etienne is, you know, he's never really been a volume guy. I mean, he averaged about, you know, 14 to 18 touches a game, and he expanded his role as a receiver. I love the fact that he became a really good pass catcher. So if you're in an offense where you throw a lot to the running back position, or and you can create ways to get him in space, and you sort of feel like that's the missing ingredient, like we're good on the outside, we have a slot receiver, we're okay at tight end, what we really need is that home run back, that's probably your guy. If you're looking for the more all-around back, Najee Harris might be it, or Javonte Williams from North Carolina. Those two guys are, you know, heating up. I mean, a lot of people like them, and they've got there's good catching the ball as they are running with it. So, bigger build, maybe can last a little longer in the league, a little more body armor. So, I suspect Harris has the best chance to be the first back taken, and I'm not 100% sure whether he'll go in the first. And I think keep an eye on Atlanta for Etienne. I could see him being in a great spot there. Maybe I think they pick, you know, with the 3rd or 4th pick in round 2. So, if I had to guess, I would say ETN is going to be a very early day 2 pick, but it wouldn't stun me if he creeped into the back end of round 1.
Eric, I know you got a lot of prep to do. I know you do a ton of these shows. We really appreciate it. Love your work and appreciate you joining us on Fox Sports Radio.
All right, man. Thank you. Have a great weekend. See ya.
You too. That's Eric Edholm. Check him out, Yahoo Sports. First, big update in what could be, I don't know, a terrible injury in the NBA. Let's go to Dan Byer.
Yeah, Doug, this is what happened courtesy of the Jazz Radio Network in that game this afternoon between the Pacers and Jazz.
Donovan is down on the ground on the left side of the floor, and the Jazz have called a timeout. Donovan is injured and looks to be in a great deal of pain. He's being helped off the floor. He is not putting any weight at all on his right leg. Donovan jumped high in the air and then landed awkwardly on what looked like his left leg, actually, but it is his right leg. He's now beginning to only put a light amount of weight on.
Early reports are saying that it's an ankle injury for Donovan Mitchell, but as you mentioned, needed to be helped off the court by his teammates. Jazz Radio Network with that call there. So Donovan Mitchell leaving today's game. We'll just call it a leg injury just like they did in the broadcast, but there are reports saying that it may actually be an ankle. The Utah Jazz trail the Pacers right now 86-78 nearing the end of the 3rd quarter.
Yeah, I'm watching the replay now, and it's weird because you're trying to figure out exactly how he hurt, what he hurt, and it does look like it's his ankle, not his knee, but he is in a severe amount of pain. I haven't yet seen a replay of what actually happened is the problem, right? But it's here you go. Here's the replay. He jumps and lands, and yeah, it looks like he rolled his right ankle. So, again, I'm not going to speculate on what it is.
Correct.
But it's his right ankle, and that stinks, and it can hurt you in terms of being back for it. I don't know his level of pain or whatever, but it's not like, yeah, it's a nasty one.
And to Just to describe to the listener who's unable to see what we are able to see, when Jamal Murray hurt his knee against Golden State, first of all, he was on a fast break, was driving to the basket. Yeah, like the action was there so you could see the injury, no contact. This was kind of on the other side of the court because the Pacers got a turnover, got
stole the
basketball.
Yeah.
And I would say this, Jamal Murray immediately grabbed his knee. Donovan Mitchell did look like he rolled around on the court and then tried to kind of get up on his own strength. And then his teammates and Quinn Snyder and the assistant coaches kind of held him up and they called the timeout and then he was helped off. So those were the images and describing of what we saw, like with Jamal Murray just immediately grabbed his knee and was writhing in pain. Donovan Mitchell, at least it looked like, tried to get up and tried to move, but just couldn't put anything on that leg, put any weight on that leg.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, here's what we got today. We got an ankle injury for Donovan Mitchell. We don't know how bad. And we'll talk with TJ Hushmanzada. Whoosh! Next hour. Get his thoughts on some of the quarterbacks, some of the wide receivers coming out. Get ready for the fight of a lifetime with Triller Fight Club. Tomorrow, you can tune in to watch Ben Askren and other fighters in a stacked card with amazing fights with music by Justin Bieber, Diplo, Doja Cat, Snoop, and more. Tune in on pay-per-view or stream on TysonOnTriller.com. Every day at this time, we like to play for you a portion of a previous show on Fox Sports Radio, Fox Sports 1, we call it.
And now.
What does the Fox say? This is Colin Cowherd explaining why John Gruden shouldn't be involved in personnel decisions.
The problem for John Gruden is he made two huge trades early. Amari Cooper, he got a bunch of first-round picks, and Khalil Mack got a bunch of first-round picks. He didn't hit on all those picks. In fact, he hit on one. So he gets all those picks for Amari Cooper and Khalil Mack. Five, four are meh. One's a bust, maybe two, and one, Josh Jacobs, running back, has been great. Three of those five picks have been complete head-scratchers. And John Gruden can be an eight-year-old at a toy store. The faster, the flashier it is, mommy, I want that. You cannot fall in love with college players. You have to fall in like with them. That's why John Gruden is a very, very emotional guy. That's what makes him great. That's why we love John and why I think he's a really good coach. He can't do personnel. You got to get him out of personnel. It's not what he does. He loved Johnny Manziel. Of course he did. And of course he loved Henry Ruggs because he's a burner. He's a track guy. He runs 100 miles an hour. This is why most coaches, including Belichick, should stay away from personnel.
I mean, look, do I generally agree? Like, yeah, I don't think it's too difficult to do what you do with your football team, evaluate your current team, and then evaluate the college players. But the idea, and he did bring in Mike Mayock, and Mayock had, for a living, evaluated college players, and he hasn't been perfect. Guess what? Nobody's perfect. Has John Lynch done an outstanding job? Yeah. Yeah. He also drafted higher in the draft outside of there was one pick that was an obvious top 10 miss. But I mean, look, if you drafted two and you draft Nick Bosa, Deebo Samuel fell to them. It was a great pick. But they missed. They've swung and they missed. Go ahead. Feel free to look at the San Francisco 49ers, all right? A team who I think many people believe has done really well in the draft recently. And I would say rightfully so. But, I mean, last year they took Javon Kinlaw, 14, 1.5 sacks out of South Carolina. The year before, they got Nick Bosa and Deebo Samuel. Great. Anyone could have selected Nick Bosa. Deebo Samuel was an outstanding find, but he's not a great wide receiver, but he's great how they use him. They use him on end arounds. You know, they use him, they just on go routes. He's like a jack of all trades, a master of none. I mean, there are people that don't like Mike McGlinchey. That was their first pick ever. Solomon Thomas was a bust. So, and I mean, it's the same group that took Reuben Foster, who had all those personal problems. Was that known? Yeah, that's why he fell a bit in the first round of 31. So I think that, and I would tell you that John Lynch has done a great job there, but John Lynch has missed too. They all miss, you know, that's what they do. They all absolutely positively miss. I mean, you're going to sit here and tell me that Solomon Thomas, who has taken, what was he taken in the draft? I mean, Solomon Thomas, if I'm looking at this correct, if I remember correctly, he was taken as the third pick in the NFL draft in 2017. Third pick. Okay. How'd that go for them? Miles Garrett went 1. Trubisky went 2. Bad pick. Leonard Fournette 4. That was a bad pick. Corey Davis 5. Okay. Corey Davis was he got 207 receptions so far. Mike Williams went 7, but he's been oft injured. Christian McCaffrey's probably been the best pick of that draft, you know, more so than even Miles Garrett. He went 8, but he was hurt all of last year. And Pat Mahomes went 10. You know, you didn't have to trade for a quarterback if you would have just taken Pat Mahomes. Everybody talks about the Bears missing on Mitch Trubisky. The Niners missed. Jacksonville missed. Tennessee missed. The Jets missed. The Chargers missed. The Panthers missed, right? The Bengals missed. Pat Mahomes is still sitting there, and Kansas City traded up to 10. All right, let's get to Dan Byer real quick. Dan, what do you got?
Doug, an update on the Donovan Mitchell injury. The Jazz are saying it's a right ankle sprain for the star guard, suffered in the third quarter of their game that continues to go on against the Pacers. He will not return to this contest. That from
I would
Jazz.
Say so far things are going really well for the Dwayne Wade ownership.
Yeah, I was going to tweet as much, but I didn't know if it was that kind to do so.
Yeah. But, who needs the Madden curse when you got the Dwayne Wade curse?
Right. So hopefully Donovan Mitchell is okay. Right ankle sprain is the word from the Utah Jazz.
All right. Thank you so much, Dan Byer. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. So, oh, by the way, that's what the Fox said.
What does the Fox say?
Okay. Byer going to be warm this weekend. Grilling? Cooking? Planting?
I'm going to try to do some stuff. However, I got to put a dresser together for the nursery. So that will probably take me 11 hours. So it could be the entire Saturday, knowing the way I put together stuff.
What'd you do? You do IKEA? Is that what you did?
It's not IKEA, but it is. I do have to assemble the whole thing. It was a gift from someone. And so it's there. So they're going to put that together. But we'll try to get outside. And then me and TJ Hushmanzada will team up on Sunday here on Fox.
Awesome. You already have your show like done. Your guy's show is really good. It's a really good show. Listen on the weekends. I always do when I'm driving. Dan Byer and TJ. Speaking of TJ, he'll join us next hour. Plus, contracts are there for a reason, aren't they? Find out next. Doug Gottlieb Show.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.